got a job in the belly of the beast. Why my mother cried. She beat her breast as they lowered me down for orientation. True love on the factory floor. Hey, danger pay. We couldn't kiss through the mask that we wore. We just licked the plastic. From up above we hear the heaving of the lungs. She gets frightened. In the belly of the beast. Yes, yes, smell the success. They put a sign up on every wall that says, just keep on climbing.
Fishing in Air by Lorna Croce. What he fishes for changes as light changes on water. Whitefish, pickerel, gold eye. There is a space in his mind where they die, appear slippery with scales where their eyes turn to slime. His line is invisible. He has forgotten what lure falls endlessly through water. It could be feathered or striped, or a silver curve that flashes at the slightest flick of his wrist. If he could send his eye out on a hook, return it to its socket when he reels in the line, he would do so. If he could use his heart for bait, then cut it from the fish within a fish. There is something he has never caught, something that makes him stand here every evening, casting, casting, and reeling in. Every time he fishes, he is different. The water is different, the sky, the way the tern hangs in the air or doesn't. What he will catch is a minnow now, slim and golden, growing to fill an emptiness in a lake he's never seen before, no road in or out.
Have a happy birthday, Broby, with the Ting Tings.
To music is awesome!
Well, I agree. Dancing and listening to music is fun. That was the Ting Tings on Yo Gabba Gabba singing Happy Birthday, and I played that today on my show because my darling brother, Zach Peters, is turning 28 today, and he sent me that YouTube video on my birthday, so I thought I'd send it back, even though he doesn't actually ever listen to this show because he thinks poetry is boring, and most people do think poetry is boring, but that's why we listen to this show, because it's actually really awesome, just like dancing and listening to music. Yay! In case this is a surprise to you, my name is JC Peters, and you're listening to Audio Text on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. This is a show about Canadian writing, and it usually tends to be about slam poetry or spoken word poetry, but sometimes it's about short stories or playwriting and stuff like that. I also like to start off every show and end every show with a little bit of more classical Canadian poetry, and today's poet of choice was Lorna Croce, partly because she's a chick and she's awesome, and And that's been my theme over the past little while. I've been playing some pieces from the Women of the World Poetry Slam Playoffs, which happened a couple of Mondays ago. And last week's show, which sadly was not podcastable, we had some issues with that show, so I apologize if you didn't hear it, but I'm going to be playing a little bit more from that night on today's show, so you won't feel too sorry, but if you did hear it, it'll be different stuff, so hopefully you enjoyed it last week, and there'll be a little bit more of that today. So more on that in a moment. First, just a couple of listings, things going on. Tonight is January 20th, that's right. That time machine keeps screwing me up. There's going to be a workshop with Tara Hardy at UBC for Speak Up members. So it's $5 for members, and non-members are welcome to go. It's $15 for that. And that's going to be 6 to 7:15 p.m. And then immediately afterwards, at 7:30 to 11 p.m., the UBC Slam is going to be happening in Mass Buchanan D. And Tara Hardy will be featuring. So she's an awesome poet from Seattle, and if you want to go and do some poetry workshopping with her, she's also an incredible mentor, so she's a really good one to check out. And that's tonight, 6 till 11 p.m. if you go for the whole shebang, Mass Buchanan D. And Monday, the Youth Slam is happening, featuring Francis Arevalo at Café du Soleil at 8 p.m. So just a couple of things that are going on. It's always nice to go see live poetry, though, of course, if you just listen to the show, then you just get to hear what I liked, which is fine with me. So that being said, let's get right into some poetry from the Women of the World playoffs. And I'm going to start off today with some shorter pieces, and I'm going to play the one-minute poems from the 1 and 2 minute rounds. So I hope you enjoy Magpie Ulysses.
At 11 p.m., someone tells us that as artists, we like to leave things up to God. So we did. By 3 a.m., we had destroyed my apartment with our teeth. My belt buckle rewelded itself to the buttons on your new jeans. My hair left a burn mark in the shape of a griffin on the heavy, hardwood, blonde oak flooring, where my hips met the space between your mouth. Even Baba Yaga's house was silenced. And under my fingertips, my freckles wrote a word's worth of poetry. We were a rosewood fretboard at a midnight campfire, all the way from the hops to the whiskey. We were thieves, our small mouths captive in each other's breasts. And now in my pocket, I got a stolen palm full of auburn, a piece of the blue moon, a collection of house cats, and keys to other people's boxcars. The view from my window doesn't look the same here anymore. The Souk Hills, the Gary Oak, my neighbor typing in her pajamas, are all curtains made by God to hide my burning nudity that still blushes even though you are gone.
And this is Sonia Littlejohn and her heart sneeze.
Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, daily grassroots global unembedded international independent news hour. And this is CITR 101.9 FM.
Hey, good morning, Matt and Meredith. And I can tell you already, Canada is ready for the spotlight, for their shining moment.
There's a moment in time coming for Canada, and we're all going to be part of it. And it's not going to be something that we so much watch, but we own it. It's ours.
John Furlong promised that the Olympics would be ours. But time and time again, we've seen that the games have only taken the city away from us, displacing the homeless, criminalizing poverty, causing vast environmental degradation, and exchanging our civil liberties for the corporate spectacle. See the Olympics in a whole new light at the Rethinking the Olympics conference, organized by the UBC Social Justice Center and held in the Sub, January 26th to 28th. Learn more at panels on Rethinking the Olympics, on the impact on housing, and on the student and activism. Dive in with an interactive workshop on art and activism, a workshop from Food Not Bombs Vancouver, and a Know Your Rights workshop from the BC Civil Liberties Association. Check out the Coca-Cola case, a film spotlighting the labor policies of the Olympic sponsor, and celebrate with drinks and music at the Grad Student Center Penthouse. Go to www.resistubc.com for more information, or search Rethinking the Olympics Conference under Facebook Events. And keep your eyes open for events on campus January 26th to 28th.
And a shorter piece from Tessa.
Cherry, cherry woman. Phone lines, a tie of friendship of mine among the heights of treetops. And whenever it falls out of sight, I know there is a wire I can feed up. I will pick cherries of laughter from it that will burst to the pit of what our days have been, burst into early morning good nights. You make me smile. And if you can see my face at the moment, you'd be a little asleep with the promise of sweet dreams, because I'm not but I know these heights have held late. And when you tell me, even if you're early, you always feel like you're running late, that's what it means. Your life has held my weight. Then you suggested we find a fireplace to burn 3 a.m. fruit cores and let the flames of everything we would hide from ladies. But all this was said in the days and anticipated sheets and words began to fall between pillowcase and breath. We'll continue to uncover the color of our conversation as you rest. Right after my voice lulls you to sleep, I will try to make it melancholy sweet, leaving you with the comfort of a wooden ship swaying in waves you are ever aware can hold you, can hold you and your loved ones. Nonetheless, it's been a while since your essence was present away from the busy city you live in. Let's go on another road trip. Let's allow ourselves the time to sit and write poetry about how we've become lovesick with my space and your boy whose eyes blaze a few shades brighter every time your reflection catches them. You will meet him on a bridge towards Ivy Field, and I will sing you both away. And all my song will know to say is be beautiful. Beautiful like riptide and steaming sand running through hands less calloused. Beautiful like red lipstick on a black and white photograph. Beautiful like friendship, like a goddess. Be beautiful, like a woman.
Hi, this is Audie from Broken Bones, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. And all I'm going to say to you is, fuck off and die.
And with some of those shorter pieces, we might as well add a couple of longer pieces as well. This one is from Antoinette.
I'm a mature tranny who is gaining confidence with being me, and who needs not to worry so much about passing, or being humiliated and mocked, or subjected to snickering pointed fingers and insults, or people getting up and moving when I sit down, like on the bus. In the past, I had to make sure someone else was standing with me at the bus stop, so the bus would stop and not just drive by, especially if it were the last bus. Once upon a time, when the last bus didn't stop, this princess was so exhausted she fell asleep right there on the sideboard and awoke minus her money and next to the pee. I was homeless at the time and been away working without a break for 5 days and nights from one day to the next. I would keep working when I had nowhere to live, strolling in heels and barely clothed from high track at night to low track during the day, through the evening, then back again, until the drugs couldn't keep me awake any longer. Eventually, I would hit the wall and pass out wherever. It got to be quite comical at times. I would nod off while giving head. Damn near did the dude stick off a couple of times. Suddenly it came to. I was in very cold state. It was so embarrassing. I suppose with me it was like putting a suit in a baby's mouth. I eventually found a place to live because I was a prostitute and management's greed for their $20 guest fee. I wouldn't even bother trying to flag a cab during daylight. A late morning date was absolutely stunned. He insisted on grabbing a cab back to my place. The cabbies would take one look at me, then keep right on going. My date went and got a cab and then came back to pick me up, only to either have the cabbie quickly pull away when I attempted to get in, or refuse to move till I got out. Finally, the fifth cab he tried let me get in. seemed a bit easier during the evening as they when realizing was that trannies who were already moving. Although, I can remember being dumped by Dave way out on 49th and Main Street after the buses had retired and having to walk down Main Street dressed in nothing but my little bolero jacket, my white lace see-through miniskirt, G-string garters, and 6-inch heels. No cab would pick me up till I was almost hit Broadway. I even tried to bribe when passing by any one of three or four cabbies parked in the corner without success, as they just laughed at me and my late-night predicament. Trying to reassure myself that much of the attention, hollers and hoots is because with my tattoos and outfits, I was a recognizable and known prostitute. Not so much for the reason of being a visible male to female transsexual. I have a better understanding and appreciation as to what it must be like for women to venture out alone at night in what for many is still very much a man's world, especially if she's ever been sexually assaulted, robbed, beaten, or all of the above. Experiences I've endured time and again as a working girl on the streets and alleyways of Vancouver. I backed off from SRS, sexual reassignment surgery, and I'm becoming more comfortable with being seen as a bit of both. After all, I came with testicles and an ovary, small breasts with perky nipples and hip joints that move as a woman's for childbirthing, although I'm now past the safe age for having a baby. Dressing more like a lady my age should help to downplay the attention and notoriety, which should help to relieve my anxiety. Thank you.
So that can be a little bit interesting to see the difference in the timing. Usually slam poetry is 3 minutes. And when you have the limitation of either doing a 4-minute poem or a 1-minute poem, things can change quite drastically. So that was a 4-minute piece from Antoinette. I'm going to play one more 4-minute piece. And I am a little embarrassed about this, but it's going to be my own poem. I figure I should probably play the winner of the WAP Yes Slam, and it's me. And so I'm a little embarrassed by that. But I'm going to play my 4-minute piece for you guys.
You kissed me like you were taking a stand. You kissed me like a boxer, fists fluttering at your jawline like some kind of twisted butterfly with anger management issues waiting for your moment to sting. And butterflies don't sting. You kissed me like you were sparring with me, like you were bartering with bravery, stepping back, forth, two-stepping with fear, like once you kiss me, I'll hit you back. I don't want to be kissed like that. I don't want to be kissed like you're afraid of me, like every time you put your heart on your sleeve, you have to do your laundry. I don't want to be kissed like you're going into battle, charging ahead, hitting bone on flesh, and then meeting me in your blood-earned vengeance. This is love, baby, not war. Remember? But we're not fighting on the same side. I am the one taking a stand. Stone-faced, you said, like my stone heart or my stone fist. You put your warm hands on my body, and when it pushed them away, you called it frigid. You can't see my mouth shaping no with your tongue shoved down my throat. And I am fighting being kissed like that. I'm fighting being kissed by those who thought they owned me. Of being pecked, stroked, pushed, pulled, bruised, broken, kissed again and again, cheek turned, body burned like I was taking a hit. I'm fighting memories of that pleading voice calling me through steam in a dark bathroom shower. And being slammed up against the door lock, bumping into my left hip, clothes off, naked down, bruised again, and I was trying to say no. And I shouldn't have told you that story. I'm fighting dreams of being broken open, of my skin pulled raw from my palms to my eyelashes, of thumbs pressed into collarbones, and the bruises I was left with, the bruises I woke up with, and scouring in the shower at the bruises that marked me as that terrified territory. So maybe it is war in the end, for me, if not for you. And you can't kiss someone in battle. Because even you, with your warm and awkward hands, your sweetly awkward feet, who kissed me so fearfully, maybe you just forgot that I told you that story. Because the next day, playfully, you pushed me into a dark bathroom, and I pushed you off, playfully, ran out, fist up with a laugh like a weapon. Your voice after me, pleading, calling me back to your locks and phantom fists, because you couldn't understand. Like a child banging with excitement on the glass of a rattlesnake's cage, you just wanted to be closer to me, to see what I looked like. In your sudden sense that I owed you something, you forgot that I am an animal, and the cage is there for you and not for me. And after promises at your bedroom door of just sleeping, I promise, just sleeping, you tore off all my clothes just like in those dreams until I panicked, cried, fumbled for my underwear, lost somewhere in your bed sheets, and tried to go home. And then you said you lost something too. And my body was your bomb. It had an answer for you. It was something to hold on to press into, to draw images in black and blue of the man you think you are and the woman you want me to be. So maybe you never learned that simple kindergarten rule that no means no. Or maybe it was a lifetime in a world that disagrees. And so when my mouth was shaking no, it looked a little like a yes, and you fucked me fumblingly, my resistance echoing against my teeth and nowhere else. And even though it's too late now, I'm still trying to take a stand, and I just want you to know that I don't want to be kissed like that.
And my poet name, of course, is Julie Peters. So if you're looking for me as a poet, that's what you'd be looking for. I do have a MySpace and some stuff like that. And my website, of course, is jcpeters.ca, but you know that already because you can podcast this show from there, audio text, right here on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We've got lots of awesome chicks that are full of Shakti and power throughout this radio show. So that being said, I'm going to play just one more, actually from the open mic of the WOW PS playoffs, because it's not always about the competitors and the scores that matter. Sometimes the open mic is just as awesome. So this is Lisa B.
28. Year of my first Saturn return, and the year well-meaning older women suddenly started commenting on the smoothness of my skin, telling me I better cover up in the sun and use a good moisturizer morning and night. Well, I listened. Swiped fistfuls of beauty cream samples from the health and body care section of the shop I worked in. So my face looks great, but I get to see my cervix. Strange. It's almost like a baby-like rite of passage, like shaking your head or doing the candida cleanse or taking platonic showers with your friends, which I still miss, by the way, and I'm sad that everyone else grew out of it. I have a speculum. I've packed it with me every time I've moved since a girl in Eugene, Oregon traded it to me for a book of my poetry in 2003. I'm not intimidated. I'm actually quite intrigued. It must just be laziness. I don't do breast exams either. My mom found a frightening love once. She flew out to BC to visit me and my aunt, her favorite older sister, to sit in quiet terror for the entire long weekend without once revealing she was awaiting the results of a biopsy. Didn't want to scare us, she said later. And I'd add, probably didn't want to face it. So she's an extreme example. But I find it interesting that multiple older women who barely know me take the time to tell me that I can no longer take smooth skin for granted. But no one is talking about breast examinations, and not a one of them have mentioned a neglected cervix. Just once, instead of upward sweeps, carefully around the delicate eye area, and don't forget the neck, I'd like to hear, you've got great boobs. Do you check them regularly for lumps? I do mine on the full moon. Or maybe, in a discreet undertone, have you ever experimented with a speculum? Getting a pap can be a lot less intimidating when you've already met your cervix. Meanwhile, I'm going to get a stronger flashlight. The year I stopped waiting for someone to replace my mother, and the year I no longer let laziness stand between me and my cervix.
It's been so long, we're glad we came before. We got the fame or had a name. My story hasn't changed with accolades. We're still standing, I won't be back again. It's been so long.
Australian hip-hop group The Hilltop Hoods have already dominated Down Under, and now they're looking to do the same here in Canada. Catch The Hilltop Hoods February 10th at Venue in Vancouver.
The tour, in support of their platinum album, State of the Art, will be their first headlining tour in Canada. See The Hilltop Hoods up close and personal before they graduate to stadium shows.
Tickets are going fast, so get yours sooner than later. Tickets available now at Ticketmaster, Livestock, and Zulu.
The Hilltop Hoods at Venue in Vancouver, February 10th. Don't miss it.
Wednesday mornings on CITR from 8 to 10 a.m. It's the Suburban Jungle Show with your radio host, DJ Jack Velvet. Thrills, chills, excitement, and music. That's the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesday mornings from 8 to 10 on 101.9 FM in Vancouver. You can also catch this show, streaming and podcast, at www.jackvelvet.net. Don't miss the Suburban Jungle Show, Wednesdays 8 to 10, 101.9 FM, CITR.
Great. So now you guys have heard some of the awesome spoken word poetry by women of the world, also known as Women of Vancouver, this past Monday. And I'm going to be representing Vancouver in Ohio in March at the Women of the World Poetry Slam, which is the big thing where all the winners from all of the different cities are going to go and perform and compete and all that kind of stuff. So it should be pretty exciting. And don't you worry, I'll bring my trusty recorder with me and I'll record what I can and bring back what I've learned. So hopefully that'll be a good experience for you guys as well as for me. It should be pretty awesome, really good learning experience, very exciting. So I'm going to end off the show with a couple of more pieces by Lorna Crozier, who is a poet from Saskatchewan. And she's quite a Canadian poet as well. She was born in 1948, and she writes a lot about the landscape and these kind of uniquely Canadian nature-oriented things. So just a couple of more poems from Lorna Crozier. And just as a note, I'm reading from Open Country, Canadian Literature in English, an anthology of Canadian literature edited by Robert Lecker. Myths. There is a story of a swan. See the birthmark on the back of my neck under my hair. That is where the great bird pinched me in her beak, snatching me from the sea and carrying my wet, salty body to the shore. This is a story I could believe. Sometimes the wings of a bird beat against my skull, feathers fill my mouth and eyes with a whiteness like winter. Or I was carried on a dolphin's back. She pushed me to shore with her soft nose, then turned and disappeared under the waves. The notes of her song hovering above the water in the blue light of evening, alone in the house, I float through rooms, my sides sleek and slippery. I was not made from a thin, dry rib, white as and bare as if chewed and sucked by a small dog. These breasts did not come from a man's side, this round belly, this hollow at the center. We dreamed each other at the same time, and we dreamed a garden. When we awoke, there was wind in the leaves above us, apples glowing like red moons as we turned to one another in the sweet green air. Mrs. Bentley. I've walked through this story in house dresses and splay-footed rubbers. Mousy hair without curls. Philip never drew a convenient portrait for me to comment on, a hasty sketch. I could have said, though his hand is flawless, this does not resemble me. That's my high forehead in the way I purse my lips, but he's placed my eyes far apart. I look in two directions. The right one stares at you, follows you as you move. The left, my prairie eye, gazes at what lies just over where the lines converge. No portrait exists, no photographs, and little self-description. And nowhere in these pages can you find my name. Gladys, Louise, Madeline. I fancy Margaret, though in the country everyone would call her Peg. We're left with Mrs. Bentley, dowdy, frumpy, plain. Don't you wonder what Philip called me as we lay together, my flesh warmed by his hands, the taste of me on his tongue, as if there were no better sound in all the world, my name, my name. And that again was Lorna Crozier from Open Country Canadian Literature in English, edited by Robert Lecker. My name is JC Peters. This is the show Audio Text on CITR 101.9 FM. In Vancouver, thank you so much for listening. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of Julia Nunes, who is a great ukulele player who has recently had a show in Seattle that a few of my friends were extremely excited about. So I thought I'd play a little bit of her. So thanks so much for listening, and I'll be back next week.
Why do you build me up, Monica, baby, just to let me down and mess me around? And then worst of all, you never call, baby, when you say you will. But I love you still, I need you more than anyone, darling. You know that I have from the start.